Hello and welcome once again to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. Being mindful. Yes, you are right here. Mm-hmm. Being joyful. Mm-hmm. I am Pastor Deji. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host today, Lillian. We have a guest. We have a guest, but we'll come to the guest in a moment. Being Mindful is our radio show on PHBC Radio where we discuss issues relating to our quality of life as Christians. Mm-hmm. And these are issues including family, relationships, money, politics, scripture, how we live our lives as Christians. What is our obligation? What should we be thinking about? What should we be doing? And we just put these questions out there, have a little bit of a discussion. We invite you as well to join in the conversation. If you'd like to join us, if this is your first time particularly, you're thinking, wow, okay, sounds interesting, I'd love to join in the conversation. If you'd like to join us, you can do so if you're listening on the PHBC Radio app, or even the PHBC Church app, or even on the PHBC website. You can click the button to contact the studio and your message will come directly to us here in the studio. Alternatively, you can reach out to us via our social media handles using the tag at PHBC London, and your message will also come through to us here in the studio. We've got a great, and I mean a great, topic for you today, something I believe is very relevant and pertinent to us all. But we will get to that in just a moment. As is our practice on the show, we will often ask we often check in with one another. So I will start by asking my wonderful co-host Lillian. Ooh. Yes.
Oh gosh, croaky co-host.
Oh my goodness. I will ask my wonderful croaky co-host Lillian, what's on your mind?
Oh, there's plenty on my mind, Pastor. Where do I start? Oh, you know what I'm going to go with?
What are you going to go
with? I'm going to go with the eclipse.
Uh-oh.
There's an eclipse happening in the States.
Uh-oh.
And it's been all over the news. So if you haven't heard it, for those of you who are listening to us in America, maybe, you know, the eclipse will be happening soon. It's supposed to happen around 8:30 UK time.
Okay.
And apparently it will be seen on the northern part of America.
Uh-huh.
And they're now saying if there's good weather on the western side of the UK, you might be able to see a partial eclipse.
Oh boy.
So an eclipse is where the moon and the sun cross over each other. And apparently the last time that we had an eclipse, a full eclipse here in the UK, and I remember watching it, was in 1999. Pastor, do you remember that?
Well, I think 1999, everybody was losing their minds around, we were all around the millennium bug. And we were like, that's it, the world's coming to an end. First it was 1999, then it was 2012, around the millennium bug, and planes were going to fall out of the sky. And I do remember.
Another book on operation.
Exactly. And I do remember the hype around that time.
Yeah.
And certainly, I didn't actually see the eclipse myself.
Okay.
Actually, I did.
Uh-huh.
It was daytime over here.
It was daytime.
I did.
Yes.
I actually did. I do remember.
I was working in an office in London. And I stepped outside. Well, there was a few of us stepping outside. I worked in Borough then.
Mm-hmm.
And and they said, you weren't supposed to look up at it because it will damage you. Anyway, I just look up at it. Every paraphernalia they were selling. Mm-hmm. Glasses, eclipse t-shirt, eclipse, everything.
Oh,
by that, you know, 1999, you know, there wasn't social media then.
Yeah.
So, yes, I remember looking up at it and, it just felt kind of eerie. It wasn't dark, but it was like dusk, you know?
Yes.
And yeah, people were just in awe of what was happening. So, I'm excited, you know, I wish I could see the full eclipse again, but they reckon it will happen again in the UK in 2029.
2029.
No, not 2029, 2090. 2090.
That's
yes.
I mean, 2029. I was about to say save the date, folks, and then 2090 as a
We'll be with the Lord. I think
we, if the Lord hasn't returned to take us, we will have gone to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my days, 2090. Well, there you have it. If any of you is still about, any of you are still, so where are we now? 2024, 2090, 76 years from now.
Mm.
76 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. That's amazing.
It is. So, Pastor, what is on your mind?
Oh, my days, Lillian. So I'm going to take a minute, a bit of a minute to explain. What's on my mind primarily relates to what happened the Sunday before. So, right here at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, two Sundays ago, that's 8 days ago, that was the 31st of March. And those of you who are online, those of you listening, you know the 31st of March was Easter Sunday. And at PHBC, here at PHBC Radio on Easter Sunday, it was an amazing day. PHBC members, can I hear a whoop whoop? It was an amazing day. We give God thanks. And you know where I'm going to go. You know what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. We had baptisms. And it's one thing, you know, I testified about this yesterday at church. A week before that, you know, although we'd advertised the baptism service, I didn't know if anybody was going to come forward. We didn't have any candidates. We had said, listen, we want to have a baptism. Guys, come forward for baptism. You're going to enjoy this. Baptism's a good thing, you know. We'd scheduled the classes. We'd said, you know, hey, you can have come and do all of this stuff. We'd even put the poster outside the building. And we did not have any candidates for baptism. So it was absolutely amazing that on the day, we had three people. By the time we got to that point, we had three people. And then after the three people were baptized, you know, one of the things that we tend to do is ask the question, you know, as the Bible talks about the eunuch baptisms. And we ask the question, does anybody else want to get baptized? And yes, you remember what happened, Lillian? First of all, there was one chap who stood up and said, yes, I will do it. I want to get baptized. And it obviously was his first time. And then there was a second person. It was phenomenal.
Yes, I remember. It was crazy.
Yes, it was. And you know, I'm really, really grateful to God. And I think for me, one of the key things with about baptism, you know, when I think about the whole idea, I mean, we know what baptism is. It is a major symbol of the resurrection. It's a major symbol of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And for us as Christians, you know, baptism is critical for us. Mm. It's So I really give God thanks. That's what I've been going on and on about it, haven't I? I've been talking going on.
We know about, that you're passionate about baptism.
I'm absolutely passionate about kingdom and baptism. So folks, remember earlier on at the beginning of the show, I told you we have a guest with us in the studio.
Indeed.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Let's hear a whoop, whoop. We have our guest, and I want to introduce to you Denise Mead-Hill.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about Denise in just a moment. But before we go there, Denise, as you've been hearing, just sharing a bit about what's on our minds.
Well, Denise.
Thank
you very much for this warm welcome.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. Lillian, what's on her mind is the eclipse that's happening, and that people are losing their minds about the eclipse in 1999.
Right.
For me, it's all about baptisms. Yeah. So, Denise, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm still very much basking in the Easter season and what it all means. Mm. And I had a really wonderful Easter weekend. We had a conference and, you know, we just went through the whole journey of the death and burial and, obviously, for us as Christians, resurrection of Christ. And that, I think, you know, it never gets old. And every time you look at it or every time you hear that story, it just kind of resonates with where we're at the moment. Because, you know, with so much darkness around, we do need that resurrection light.
Mm.
And that's something that, you know, has sat with me throughout the whole week. Mm. So.
Wow.
That's what's on my mind.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Because someone said, I think you said it, Pastor, on Daily Prayers, that we're still in that Easter period.
Yes.
We are. Mm. And I think sometimes, you know, Denise, I love the way that you said that, because you called it the Easter period, Easter season.
Yes.
Very often what we do is we say, oh, it's Easter, and Easter's Easter Sunday. And then exactly. The following day is just a bank holiday.
Mm. That's right.
And then, you know, that's it for us. It's like, yeah. Well, Easter is gone and done.
Mm. Mm.
But is Easter ever done?
Yeah, that's no. right. And, you know, I mean, even just to take it back to, you know, biblical times, it's a Passover, really, season.
Mm.
That just, you know, I suppose indicates, you know, the covenant that God had with the children of Israel at the time, and by extension us as Christians.
Preach this.
The Passover period is a significant moment in that journey.
And I mean, Easter show that we did, we talked about what Easter is, and is Easter even a biblical word, and all of that stuff. But I'm glad you mentioned the Passover.
Yes.
You know, because again, you know, these are the things that I think in modern times we it's like we're forgetting them, you know, and are they not still important?
That's right.
Are they not still critical? But I want to go back to what you were saying about the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
It's either an email or a website or a link somewhere that says what every Christian must know about eclipse.
Okay.
Do you know about this stuff?
Uh-huh.
Really? I'm surprised. I mean, you know a lot about a lot. And I thought, if anybody's going to,
you know a lot about a lot. Well,
I thought if anybody would know, Lillian's got this on lock. Because apparently there's a whole biblical, scriptural, you know, thing. Do you know anything about these?
No,
this, Denise?
No.
I mean, I didn't read the link. I didn't click the link to read the article.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But my understanding is like, oh yeah, maybe we'll maybe in the break we'll look at something, because you know, and I was like, what is this?
Pastor, please send me the link.
I'll send you a link. Yeah.
I know there's something in the Bible about the pink moon.
Yes.
Or absolutely. Red moon.
Yeah, the red moon. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So anyways, that's what's on our mind. Mm. What's on your mind, folks? If you're just listening, you're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio, where we discuss issues pertaining to our quality of life as Christians. We're going to take a short musical break now. We're going to listen to a musical track. This particular track, this first one, it's an interesting one. Should we do this one? No, let's do this one. Let's do the first one. I'll do the second one. I have a choice of oh my days.
Pastor.
Rewind. Breathe, right? Breathe. I have a choice or a number of choices? What's the English here?
A choice, I normally say. What do you say to that?
Yes, I have a choice from a number of tracks.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
There you go.
I have a choice from a number of tracks. But this particular one, this first one, was released almost exactly a year ago.
Mm.
It's released by Thunder World Records, and it is Ian Green with Giving You All.
Oh, lovely.
Start.
That was Ian Green giving you all. What a track.
Well, it's a wonderful track.
I was just about to talk about, I knew you'd enjoy it. Lillian, folks, listen. Lillian was here having an actual boogie down. Denise and I were trying to have a conversation. Lillian was just there and,
yes,
you know, arms were moving. And
what it says, giving it up, giving all the glory to God, isn't it? So that's what I was doing.
She was really giving it up. In advance of Fit Temple. Hey, we'll talk about Fit Temple. Maybe the next show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that. Yes. You know, Fit Temple. That'd be a good precursor.
Definitely.
Wouldn't it? In a couple of weeks' time. That would be. How's that?
Yes.
We're changing the topics, folks. Yeah. Listen, if you just joined us, you're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. Join the conversation. Listen, what's on your mind? Today we've got a great topic. I'm going to hand over to Lillian in a moment to introduce the topic and our guest in the studio with us today. We've got a really great topic. We'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation. You can reach out to us via the PHBC Radio app or even the PHBC app. If you tap on the link to contact the studio, your message comes directly to us here. Alternatively, if you're on social media, do go ahead and ping us using the tag at PHBC London, whether that's Facebook, Insta, YouTube, what's the other one? Twitter, X.
Yes.
X, formerly known as Twitter.
Instagram.
The whole lot. We're here. Anyways, let's get to it. So what's happening today, Lillian?
As you mentioned earlier, Pastor, we have a special guest in the studio. And her name is Denise Mead Hill. And now Denise Mead Hill is a career management and training coach, and she helps wonderful people with their careers. I'm sure she'll expand on that a bit more. And we're going to find out today. Our topic is about, you know, Christians and our careers, basically. You know, where can we, you know, where does God come into play when it comes to our careers? You know, are there certain careers, jobs that we should be doing as Christians? Are there ones that we shouldn't be doing as Christians? Some come to mind, so I'm going to ask you, Denise.
Put me on the spot.
Well, we should as Christians be doing jobs like that. But anyway.
Oh, by the way, Denise, the show's called Being Mindful.
Okay.
This show has been running for about 3 years.
Right.
Since Lillian came on as one of the presenters, we've nicknamed it Being Joyful.
Oh,
every single show, there's laughter.
That's great.
Lillian, we don't know what she drinks before she comes into the studio. It's like this. You know?
Well, joyful noise.
Joyful in the Lord.
Yes.
So, Denise, over to you. Tell us a little bit about who you are and why did you come into being a career management and training coach?
Right. Well, as again, thank you very much for this warm welcome and for the invitation to start with. Yes, a little bit about me. I work in the professional development space. My background was in learning and development, and whilst there I was doing some consultancy work with teams for the company that I worked with at the time, and we contracted in coaches, external coaches, to work with individuals who were going through talent management programs. So I saw the results of that and got intrigued by, you know, the whole process and by the engagement that those people encountered. And so I thought, that might be something that, you know, I would like to try. So over the years, I found out a little bit more and then took the plunge and decided to re-qualify as a career coach. So I went through the academic route because I wanted to get a really good grounding in, you know, the topic, the area, the profession, and how it worked. So that's what brought me into coaching mainly. But I think I enjoy the people interaction and the journey, the individual's journey through the organization, rather than just fitting into the framework and, you know, doing your job every day like we all do. You know, it's kind of giving a little more ownership, that individual taking a bit more ownership, and as a coach you're working alongside them to help them to develop, design their professional life in a way that meets their aspirations,
which is good, because since the pandemic a lot has changed. You know, Some people have been unhappy in their jobs for years, and then of course the pandemic hit, and then some people were laid off. Some people were, it was like a welcome break in terms of, oh, actually, I don't enjoy my job anymore, you know, but where do I start? What do I do? I don't really want to go back. Some people made redundant. So what would you say for someone who's in like a career wilderness, like they're out there, they feel lost? You know, a lot is changing in terms of certain industries. As a Christian, what would you say is the first step for them to consider?
Well, career wilderness, that reminds me of biblical terms, you know, when the children of Israel were kind of out in the wilderness. Help, you know, we don't know where we are, we're lost. I think the whole idea about, you know, not being clear about where your career direction sits or where you fit into that space starts with an introspection. It's, you know, thinking about what do I value? What do I believe about, you know, the work that I'm doing? What about, you know, where do I want to go? How am I equipping myself to get into that space? And, you know, while you're doing all of that introspection, it's just remembering that you're past, well, I suppose this goes back to us as Christians, that, you know, you're meant to be passing through. You're not meant to kind of stay there. So as you're kind of anticipating what's the next best step for me at that moment. Yes, things may be a little bit, you know, challenging at the moment. I may have to stay here because of commitments I have to family life. I may have to think about reskilling, so I'm not in a position to move yet. But, you know, while you're there, you can do lots of things to you know, enable you to be ready and get ready.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. You know, when you were talking earlier on about coaching and what you do, first of all, one of the questions in my mind was, what is coaching? And a lot of people, but I think you you explained that in really wonderful terms. You know, that and the picture I had as you were speaking, Denise, is the almost the coming alongside to help them reach. It's about really about them.
That's right.
You know. Was it yesterday? No, it wasn't yesterday. I don't know. The days are blurred. Weekends just blur for me sometimes, particularly after the weekend we just had. It was absolutely fantastic here. But I met somebody recently who had just, I said to the person, how long have you been doing what you do? And I'm trying to remember who or where I was. And she said, you know, for a long time, you know, I remember now. She'd left work because of, you know, wanted to be a mum.
Okay.
And she'd had children and had left work and had been out of work for, I think it was something like 9 years or 10 years.
Okay.
And then came back into work. So is that the sort of thing that you would, is that the sort of situation someone like you would come into? Is that sort of environment in which you work and say someone saying, you know, how do I pick myself back up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people might go through that career change process or transition, as I call it, which is why my business is called Transitions, because we're always, you know, making that change, moving from one area to the other. And it's part of our development. You know, we're meant to grow and develop. So if that's not happening for you in the professional space that you occupy, then you need to kind of think, okay, well, I need to do something about it. Don't get static.
What about a redundancy situation?
But redundancy, yes, sometimes change can be brought on by external factors, of which redundancy is one. Sometimes if people are making decisions about life change, so the mum who's deciding, I'm going to take this period of time out to raise my family and then I'm going to come back into the workplace, I work with them to help them to, I suppose, even sometimes just to reappraise the skill sets that they've developed during that time, because for some reason we devalue some of those skills that are not out are not inside.
Yes, yes, yes.
The framework of yes. work. The work, the professional mm. work.
So how we devalue yes. you know, a mom with multiple children, her ability to time manage, that's multitask, right. yeah. you know, budget planning. Yeah. And fair enough, you're not managing a 50,000, 80, 100, 200,000 pound budget for mm. a department, mm. but being able to manage the squabbles, that's being right. able to think about yeah. what we're eating, school uniform, yeah. who's yeah. going on holiday, mm. who's, you know, and that sort of, it is, you know, and it's...
Organization.
Definitely. Mm. Organizing, mm. planning, mm. conflict resolution.
Yes.
Siblings.
Leadership.
Yes. yes. That's so
you know,
true.
There's so
but
many.
It's not only for women, but yes. I guess you work with men as well.
I do,
because
yes.
I know men who will take time out of their careers mm. to also help
yes.
bring up a family
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
that's good.
And now, you know, a lot of companies, they have paternity leave mm. as part of their HR you know, arrangements. So mm-hmm. that's not unheard of. Mm-hmm. It's something that's available.
Where okay. it concerns mm-hmm. where it concerns work and mm. working and this sort of thing, and particularly as Christians, mm. you know, I remember the line in scripture that says, you know, they that do not work, you know it, should not eat.
You know, that scripture came to my mind this morning, you know. yes. So, Denise.
Yeah. Goodness me.
Well, yes, and so a yeah, lot of people are yeah. struggling. A lot of people are saying, you know what? I'm trying to find work.
Mm.
And there's no work out. Just today, just today, somebody came in. In fact, this lady phoned and said, look, I want to come for the food bank.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, that's fine. And she was like, I have nothing. And I said, look, just come. Mm. We'll find something. We'll sure. make something happen. And she came.
Mm.
And then she said to me, have you got work I can do?
Mm.
And I said, what kind of work? She said, anything.
Mm.
I said, what do you mean? You're a mechanic? You're a painter? Mm. You're a plumber? You're an electrician? You're a dentist?
Yeah.
What does what? Anything mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't do ambiguous. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no. But it's true. I think that's something that people...
You have to be specific.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You know, even with people who are still in the professional world and, you know, they say that they're looking for a job and say, okay, what type of role, what kind of job? Oh, any job. I'm thinking,
what does that mean? Would you flip fries in McDonald's?
You know,
and I said to this lady, what? Yeah. And then she said, oh, care work. And I said, wow, care work is really difficult. And as I said that, she got tearful and started crying.
Mm.
And she said, I've applied to so many jobs.
Mm.
So, and I remember one thing I said yesterday, I don't know if you remember it, that the only job you're guaranteed not to get is the one you don't apply for.
That's right. Yeah. Definitely.
And I said to her, you've got to keep going.
Yeah.
But Denise, over to you and certainly the people that you work, the environment you work, when someone's saying, you know what, the outlook is so bleak, someone's saying, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
I've tried and tried and tried. What's the, you know, how do you respond to that?
Yeah. I mean, I do help them to see that how they present what they have to offer makes a big difference as well. Because sometimes people focus on the technical skills, the hard skills.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, companies are looking at the personal qualities. So because they can teach those hard technical digital, you know, skills, even if it's a role in a finance space, they can teach you how to do, you know, accounts payable or, you know,
bookkeeping,
the invoicing and things like that. But, you know, they look at, you know, how diligent you are.
Okay.
Are you going to take time to, you know, look at the fine details to ensure that, you know, everything tallies, the information is entered correctly, you have good customer service interaction, you know, so all those personal qualities comes into play. Your character, what kind of team member are you? You know, are you somebody that your colleague can rely on? They can say, you know, I've got this big project coming up, I need some input. And, you know, you're ready to, rather than being poked and waiting to be, you know,
invited.
You know, somebody who's willing, you know, who've got that
initiative.
Take the initiative.
Yeah. What needs to be done.
That's right.
Mm.
So, you know, very often I think it depends on how that information is presented. Also, we talked about the value. A lot of people overlook some of their broader experience. You might have done something in a volunteering capacity that would be essential in a paid role. So, you know, don't discount, I would say to people, don't discount anything that you've done.
So it's like it's almost looking, it's having a holistic approach, it's isn't it? A 360 degree approach to what is it that you can bring to a role. Because it is easy to miss, especially if you're fixated on a particular job and role and that job description which they you have on that sheet. You only fit in, you know, you think, okay, I can only think about, okay, my past work experience or my current work experience, but not the other, like you say, the softer skills, you know, like, you know, volunteering, maybe, you know, in your church, you know, what is it that you're doing in your church that is unrelated to your everyday work? Maybe in community as well.
That's right.
And all sorts of things. So
do you work with, I mean, no, not do you work. Obviously, I was going to say the economic landscape. I think the global landscape changed about 4 years ago. You know, 4 years, 3 years ago, COVID pandemic.
Yes, definitely.
You know, what differences have you seen? What, how has that affected the kind of thing that you do?
Yeah. Well, for me, it has opened up my reach. That's because good. I can now, you know, with the click of a button, be on a Zoom call or Teams or, you know, any other kind of video conferencing platform, Google Meets. That's not a barrier anymore. So that's worked well. In terms of the type of clients that I'm working with now, the key element for a lot of people is flexibility, because the hybrid working is now something that helps people with their mental health and well-being, with family life, with even just the quality of life that, you know, it allows. And that's the I would say the number one thing that lots of people now you know are come with for. When they are looking for
I'd like us to explore you know how we see God in our workplace. You're a Christian yourself, you work in the business place, that's in the marketplace. You know, how we see God, where we go, you know, how we etc. You know, what do we do? How can we bring more of God into the workplace? But before we do that,
we're going
to a music break. Interestingly, this song was written during lockdown.
Oh wow!
In 2020.
Okay.
Yes, it comes from the album called "Stuck on You," the Pandemic Project, and this is by Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, and it is called "Something Good."
Y'all ready? Let's go.
Anthony Brown, sorry for laughing. That was Anthony.
She's not sorry. She's not sorry.
I was singing, and then Pastor put his finger up at me, so I had to be quiet. Anyway, that was Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, Something Good. I hope you were bopping along to that as I was, even though we were having a conversation here in the studio. Yeah, great song. Anyway, welcome back, audience. Welcome back, listeners. For those of you who have just tuned in, you're tuned in to Being Mindful. And we have our special guest, Denise Mead Hill, who's a career coach. And yes, welcome to the topic. If you've got any questions, any comments, any contributions about what we're discussing around careers and where does God fit into our careers, please, please do get in touch with us using the at PHBC London on our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Instagram or Facebook, or via the PHBC radio app, where you can use the contact studio button, and your message, your comments will, and your questions will come straight through to us. So as we were discussing whilst the song was playing, we wanted to know from Denise about where God fits into our careers and our work. And you know, there are certain jobs, there are certain conditions where, you know, Christians find themselves in, say, for example, you know, they might be on Universal Credit, and, you know, they've had jobs presented to them, but those jobs are not, you know, they're not godly, they're not biblically, you know, in line with our principles. You know, what do we do? I mean, there are certain jobs which... Okay, going back to when I was in a certain church.
That shall remain nameless.
Which is definitely going to remain nameless. But, you know, there were individuals who were doing certain types of jobs that, you know, you would be like, no, that's definitely worldly, you know. But they didn't see anything. They thought that by being in that industry, they were bringing the light of God to that industry. But, you know, can you not get contaminated by what's going on in, you know?
Well, I'll let you speak first, but I immediately have an opinion. I'm sorry. There's some industries, the light of God is not going in there. Go
ahead. And I think, you know, it's choosing the right medium for doing that. So, you know, think about your communication style, because the message can be, you know, portrayed in a different context without appearing like those very people who you're trying to, you know, appeal to or rescue from, you know, an area that you think, you know, they could do something differently. However, yeah, I mean, if there are areas where there's a dilemma, probably sometimes a disconnect between what your beliefs are and what's required of you, I would say, first of all, just like any other area for Christians, we should put that before God. So really seek God in prayer for his direction and for his, you know, guidance on how, you know, you, what he has planned for you for being in that space if you find yourself in it.
So a little bit like I don't know anybody who works as this, but some, you know, I want to give the example, someone who is a drug dealer and says, you know, but I believe in God, so every time I sell my marijuana or whatever, I put a little tract in there telling them Jesus loves Jesus loves them. That's a little bit What's happening to Lillian?
This is hilarious.
So we're just going to continue.
That's
clearly open and shut, right?
Because you're sending wrong. Mixed messages.
Absolutely.
There.
Yes. But the example I want to give is someone who doesn't drink, doesn't believe in drinking, doesn't support, you know, the sale or consumption of alcohol, for example. Even in moderation, doesn't support it at all. Their conviction takes them that far. And this person, this chap, was working as a restaurant manager. He gets made redundant. He's on Universal Credit. You know, after a while of being on benefit, they say you've got to go back to work. And they say to him, the local pub has a job for you. As a bar, as a bartender. You know, that's a right there. How does he balance then his personal conviction against his material need. How does he balance then the fact that if he says no to these people, that's it, it's over, his benefit will cease?
I think in a situation like that, the ownership is on the individual in that space. So when you're having that discussion with your work coach, you could say to them in an assertive manner, that does not fit with my principles. Personal. But here is something else that I have researched, and I think this would be a good fit. I'm prepared to give this a go.
That's
good. So, because, sorry to interrupt, that gives the onus back on them, the individual, to do the research as to what jobs suit their principles and their values. Karen.
And then you're taking, you know, you're almost leading that conversation because the work coach would say, oh, okay, so you've come up with an alternative. Let's see how we can work with that to enable you to move off universal credit because you've given them an option. Whereas the other way around, you're at their mercy.
You know, if you're just
passive and you're just accepting, or you're on the receiving end of whatever is being offered. So again, it's you know, getting, you know, we as if we're talking about you know, children of God, we're all professing that we have a faith and a hope, but we also have those persevering skills and those areas where we're trusting God for an outcome that's not going to defame his name. It's going to bring glory to God. So, you know, we should always be thinking, is the task that I'm going to be doing, or the way that I'm doing it, or the environment that I'm going to be doing it in, bring glory to God? And if it doesn't, then, you know,
you need to walk,
need to do something. That's right.
But I think I love what you said earlier on, Denise, as well, because you said first step, put it to God. And it's isn't it amazing how the alternative comes? It's always down to the individual.
Always.
There are other faiths who shall remain nameless, where you would say, you know, because the job center will not, for example, other faiths say you must go work in a pub, and they will say, listen, you cannot, you straight away you're putting me in harm's way, and you're you know, you're this is about my religion and my faith, and you're not bearing that in mind. This is this is against my religion and faith. I don't know what there's something under law about not, you know, forcing people, you know, against their religious convictions.
That's right.
And it's not just about the whole laziness thing, but I think it's down to the individual. I like the way your word you used was assertively, not aggressively, assertively, and saying, please, I need you to understand, I cannot cross this line. But nevertheless, it's about the individual. Let's think about scripture.
Yeah.
Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These young men were working in Babylon. You can't get, you know, the word Babylon, it just says it all. You know, we're in Babylon. It just says it all. But, you know, I remember what Paul wrote to people of Colossus, right? Colossians 3. And I've got it written here. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Should I read it Amplified? Let me read it from the Message. Okay. The Message says, servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best.
That's right.
Work from the heart for your real master, for God. Confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Be a follower of Jesus that doesn't cover up bad work. And this text here, Paul is talking about, because there were people back in Colossus who were saying, you know, this is secular work. We're supposed to be all about the kingdom. And so the Christians, the representatives, the emulators of Christ, were the ones delivering the worst work in the team. And he was saying, you know, dude, that's not being Christian. That's not letting your light shine. You know, and so I think there is a balance to be had, but it's down to the individual to recognize we're a conduit of light in that space. And you know, Joseph.
Yeah, that's right.
Joseph. You know, he didn't start But, you know, he didn't have a baseball cap that says, you know, I heart Jehovah. You know, I heart Yahweh. Yeah, you know, yeah. He didn't have a baseball cap that said that, yeah. You know. But he went by his diligence.
That's right.
And, yes. You know, caused to say, who are you? Who, you know, come up here. What and when exactly, he had the platform.
That was identified in the way that he approached that work.
And that's a good point because... Yes. You know, I know there are certain Christians who would, you know, maybe they find themselves in a certain situation or work situation and they think that work is beneath me.
Yeah.
You know, don't you know who I am type of thing. Mm. But yes, like if we look at Joseph, he was serving from the prison.
That's right.
You know, every step of the way he was serving, you know, and I'm sure at some point, he must have been washing their feet, the prisoner's feet, so anything to put his hands to, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so should we in terms of our careers or our, you know, whatever we find our hands, you know, to do it with all our might and do it, you know, unto the glory of God.
Yeah, and the standards, you know, that are there in the place, in the workplace, we should always be looking to see how we could exceed those standards because that's the area where you might discover, you know, critical skills that could elevate you into, you know, another area of work. So I think, you know, there's a lot that individuals can do within the workplace, even if things look bleak, and even if they feel I'm not progressing at the pace that I want to, you know, you could, that could be your training ground, you know. So again, you know, look at what's the lesson that you're meant to learn while in this space, because you could be in a place where you're being prepared for that next big chance to move on.
Promotion.
What would you say, Denise? Two questions in my mind. The first, what would you say is what are the biggest challenges within your sector, whether that's a challenge for you as a coach or a challenge for the people you work with?
I think biggest challenges at the moment is there's just so many people going for you know, the same type of roles. It's the economy that we're in at the moment means that you know, sometimes the role goes out and, you know, you have 200 people applying for that job, you know, so how do you stand out? That's one of the challenges that some of the people who I work with encounter. And a lot of the times it's trying, when they're working with me as a coach in particular, I try to get them to not do the sheep kind of applications. So, you know, don't just go onto Indeed or CV Library and post your CV and sit back and wait for, you know, somebody to get back to you, because it's a jobs board. There are 2,000 other people who are doing the same thing. So how can you research that business that you are trying to get into? How can you identify the key movers and shakers in that space who maybe you can, you know, give a call to, or you can send a quick email for them to have a little chat with you about what's going on in the business? How are you keeping abreast of the developments that are going on? So we look at all of those. So yeah, lots of challenges in terms of numbers of people out there looking for work.
I know a situation where it was an admin job, 22,000 a year, and they had 378 applications. It was a 2-week closing date. They closed it on the third day. They were like, "No, nah, we're not doing this. We're not." How do you even? And the people who were shortlisting would just, they'd look at the, they wouldn't read it. They'd look at the application and go, "You know, I don't like the look of that. Fling. I don't like the look of that. Gone."
Because they can.
I love that. Because they can.
They're
literally, the reasons become more and more spurious, more and, you know, less and less sound reasons to dismiss somebody. Yes. So I suppose ways in which we can stand out are absolutely fantastic.
Yes, yeah. One of the challenges, a digital challenge as well. Because lots of, you know, with all the movements in AI and all of those parts of the recruitment recruitment process is, you know, just done assessed digitally by
a machine, a machine, robot,
a platform. Yeah. Mm.
Gosh.
So before anybody's eyes, you know, actually even gets see to it. See
a machine's content. A machine's read it.
Yeah.
Gosh, gosh, gosh. Forgot about that.
So key one.
Ooh, let me jump in on this. Yeah, I'm going to pull rank. Let me jump in on this very quickly. So you've talked about what the key challenges, you know, what the challenge, the difficulties are.
Yeah.
What do you find the greatest blessing? You know, what works best? Mm-hmm. What's a good tip? What's the positive out of this?
Yeah, I think the positive out of it is to always think about your purpose. Because I think that's the guiding light, really. You know, if you're thinking, I'm interested, I've got this burning interest in a certain field of work, find out, you know, why that speaks to you in that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how you're going to get your message across to demonstrate that, you know, you're making a difference and you're having that impact in that space.
Yes.
So I think that would be really good.
Okay, we've had someone contact us.
Ooh.
And they say, hello, BM. Oh, we're BM. Thanks for the show today. Very informative. I have a question, please. What is the best way to identify what to pursue as a career if you have multiple creative skills?
Mm.
How do you prioritize the one to pursue?
Mm.
And they have a second question.
Ooh.
What is the best way to identify and secure a mentor? So the first question, if you have multiple skills, creative skills, how do you prioritize the one to pursue?
Mm. I would say think about the one that represents your strengths. Because, you know, working from a position of strength is always a key area that enables you to define your take, your approach to that type of work, and sets you apart. So, you know, for that individual, if they find that they have multiple areas, find out what's your strength. So do you prefer to work with a certain type of people? Or is it a certain medium? You talk about being creative. Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, something that involves reaching out to others? Or is it something that you're producing from an artistic kind of space? Or are you designing something that, you know, would appeal to a certain audience?
Mm-hmm.
But something that defines your niche area, would say.
And how can they secure a mentor?
And how you can secure a mentor? Well, there are lots of different organizations out there offering mentor programs. If this person is thinking about it in a business context, there's, you know, small business support and they have mentor programs that goes with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about it from a career perspective, then there are organizations that would assign, and it depends on where you are. If they're still at uni, for example, their mentorship programs in there, the individual didn't say that. So it just varies according to you know, where you're connecting with as part of that.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of products and services you know, do you think would be useful for our listeners?
Products? Well, I would say always have a plan. You can start with my career planner. I've published a career planner that would help people to think through, you know, where am I on this journey?
Mm.
How do I want to my professional life to encompass the things that I believe in, the things that I believe would represent me and help me to meet those milestones? So we have some goal setting, some clarity and insight areas, and then of course action plans. Yes. It's all well and good having the action plans, but you've got to take action.
Yes.
So
faith without works.
Faith without works. Amen. Yes. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some key ones. But yeah, I think there's lots that people can explore.
So how do we reach you, Denise, if we like, you know what, we like the sound of this Denise lady. she we like the sound of Denise. How do we yeah. find you, Denise? Oh,
okay, thank you very much. Well, people can contact me via email, denise@careertransitionsdmh.co.uk. I'm on Instagram, denise_meadhill_careercoach. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook, Transitions Career Management and Training. I'm on LinkedIn, Denise Meadhill. So you can kind of just put my name in. And
I think by now, if we Google Denise Meadhill,
Yes. And of course, via Lillian as well, who is a good contact.
The fount of all knowledge.
For me, yes.
I'm not the fount of all knowledge. That's you. That is you. Anyway, we have reached the end the show. Yeah. That went very quickly.
It did.
So, listeners, thank you for joining us today. And re-listen back to the show. There's lots of golden nuggets that Denise dropped there. So, we're going to actually be having a break, isn't it, Pastor?
We are a little bit of a break.
So we will be back on Monday, the 13th of May, with another hot topic to discuss. So you have been listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. My name is Lillian. You've been joined in the studio with the wonderful Pastor Deji and our guest today, Denise Meadhill.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. And as we say always at the end of our program, our show, thank you for listening. Remember to be mindful of yourself and each other. God bless you.